Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Rhode Island's largest hospital network is making another attempt to trim nearly $150 million in expenses over the next 2.5 years. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Kristen Gourlay reports, Lifespan has announced another round of layoffs.
In a statement to Rhode Island Public Radio, Lifespan says it has cut 107 jobs. About two-thirds of those were vacant positions they're not filling. The rest involved laying off dozens of management and staff. That's down from a total workforce of 11,500. What's more, Lifespan says it will offer a voluntary early retirement program to employees who qualify, and it hasn't ruled out additional job cuts. The organization says its bottom line has been affected by a drop in Medicare and Medicaid funding. It's also been hit by the federal budget cuts known as sequestration. Plus, Lifespan hospitals provide a good deal of charity care to the uninsured, which puts an additional strain on finances. Lifespan began this restructuring effort last fall, eliminating several senior management positions. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
The State Board of Education meets today as controversy swirls over State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist. The board is considering whether to extend her contract. She has garnered strong support from business leaders, but strong criticism from teachers and some students for tying test scores to teacher evaluations and student diplomas. The board is also slated to vote on a controversial policy that would allow state colleges to arm their police forces. University of Rhode Island officials have advocated in favor of the move, saying it will make campus police more effective. But URI faculty say it will be expensive and will not necessarily make students safer. Lawyers for the defunct 38 Studios gaming company are asking a Providence judge to dismiss a lawsuit brought against them by the Rhode Island Economic Development Corporation. The EDC alleges the company defrauded the agency by failing to fully disclose financial information crucial to the company's success. But as Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, the company says it was completely honest with state officials.
Attorneys for 38 Studios say the company was completely honest with state officials about its financial situation when it successfully petitioned for a $75 billion state loan. Arguing for dismissal of the EDC's lawsuit against the company, they said then EDC Director Keith Stokes and his deputy director knew full well the company would need more than the state loan to move from Massachusetts to Rhode Island and launch its first game. But attorney Max Wistow, arguing for the EDC, said that information was never passed on to the agency's board, which ultimately signed off on the loan.
38 Studios defendants were an open book for a while. We're not complaining, Your Honor, merely about non-disclosure to the board of the shortfall. We're complaining about affirmative misrepresentations in writing.
38 Studios went bankrupt a few months after releasing its first video game, leaving Rhode Island taxpayers on the hook for more than $100 million. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
You're listening to Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Thousands of Rhode Island high school students are scrambling to get a higher score on standardized testing so they can graduate next year under a new state policy. The testing requirement has drawn stinging criticism from opponents who worry it will force some kids to drop out of school. But education officials and some education advocates strongly support the policy, saying it will raise the bar in Rhode Island high schools. Just across the border in Massachusetts, students have been meeting a similar bar for a decade. So I visited Attleboro High School to find out how high-stakes testing has changed what's being taught. It's lunchtime at Attleboro High, and students fill a blue and white breezeway. Many chat about their coursework or the upcoming senior prom. All of them will have to pass a standardized test known as the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System, or MCAS, to pass through these halls and on to graduation.
Hello, this is one of our soon-to-be graduating seniors, Roberto.
Gene Hickox, Dean of Students at Attleboro High School, congratulates a senior who's about to graduate. She says today only a handful fail to meet the minimum MCAS score the state requires.
I dare say numbers 5 max, but usually by the senior year there's 100% passing.
100% passing is a significant achievement for a school with nearly 2,000 students, including a growing number of non-native English speakers, a career in technical school, and a small program for at-risk students. Hickox says the passing rate wasn't always so good.
It used to be probably a quarter of the kids that had to retest. Now we're down to much, much lower than that. Each time, we have fewer and fewer retakers.
Over the last 10 years, Attleboro High School has reduced the number of students who need to retake the state test by combing their results to identify weak spots in the curriculum. For the students who still don't pass, there are special classes, and some get individual tutoring. Even in regular classes, Hickox says many teachers now integrate old test questions into their lessons.
Certainly, as previous tests release different test questions, you might see a lot of teachers opening up like a bell ringer or warm-up using a previous question of an MCAS just to get kids thinking about it. But more it speaks to the everyday rigor, high expectations, high standards of what we're demanding of the students more and more.
In a 10th grade English class, students sit, heads bent over desks, reviewing Shakespeare's Julius Caesar with their teacher, Erin Matthews.
They're reading Shakespeare, a little light reading.
Massachusetts students first take the MCAS at the end of 10th grade. That's different than how it's done in Rhode Island, where students take the state test at the beginning of 11th grade. There are some other differences, too. For example, Rhode Island students take the test during a short window, while Massachusetts spreads it out. Watching this Attleboro class, Hickox notes Attleboro has focused on the five-paragraph essay, which is at the heart of the Massachusetts English Language Arts test. She does believe the school has raised expectations because of the testing requirement, but Hickox says she also has concerns about all the testing today's students undergo. Many take MCAS, the PSAT, the SAT, and multiple AP exams.
So these poor kids are going from an SAT, which is timed and bubble and paper and pencil, and then they have their MCAS, which is not officially timed, just suggested times where they're writing full-on essays. And then AP is sort of a combination, and AP's got so much riding on it for some kids that, yeah, I think we're over-testing.
Concerns about over-testing are one reason many opponents are fighting test scores as a graduation requirement in Rhode Island. And similar arguments were made 10 years ago in Massachusetts. Even now, opponents of the Massachusetts policy argue that all this testing stresses students out. And Attleboro High School principal Bill Rooney admits that's an issue.
I mean, they're high school students, so, you know, they get anxious about what they're going to wear to school that day. So you put a test in front of them that's going to potentially impact their graduation. It's understandable that they get worked up.
In Massachusetts, schools have a special position called an adjustment counselor. No, it's not related to a bad back or insurance. An adjustment counselor helps students handle stress and other issues that might get in the way of academics. But from Principal Bill Rooney's perspective, the stress is not all bad. He sees it as part of preparing students for the real world.
Whether it's my job, your job, their parents' jobs, there are certain times where we have to step up to the plate, and it's not that much different from testing. I mean, obviously, we don't want kids to have anxiety about coming to school and things like that, but I also think that a little bit of push is not the worst thing in the world.
A little push can be a good thing, but the question is whether some students get pushed out the door. A study in California and another in Massachusetts suggests that, at least in the first years of a new testing requirement, some students were discouraged from graduating.
We sort of see these effects as unintended consequences of the testing policy.
John Pape, an education professor at Brown University, studied the difference between students who barely passed the MCAS and students who barely failed it. He found that for urban low-income students, barely failing the test reduced their probability of graduating by at least 8 percentage points.
That was a pretty large effect. We're just comparing these kids on the margin. Reducing their probability of graduation by about 8 percentage points is a pretty big effect on these students.
Pape says it's hard to know what's behind the gap in graduation rates. It may be that students who barely failed the test were discouraged and left school. Or maybe students who barely passed were so happy they stayed in school when they might have otherwise dropped out. What is clear is that testing as a graduation requirement poses a bigger challenge for urban schools than suburban schools.
Both urban low-income students and suburban students were equally likely to retake the test, but urban low-income students did much worse on that retest. And so we can't get inside the black box of this a lot, but you know, I think the policy implication seems to be that schools need to find ways, and then the system needs to find ways to support these students who fail. Our sense is that these suburban schools are finding ways to support these students who fail, and that the urban low-income schools are struggling to do that.
Attleboro High School is mainly a suburban school, and its performance on the MCAS appears to match Pape's data. A decade after Massachusetts instituted testing as a graduation requirement, most students are passing, and both students and teachers seem to have accepted the test as part of earning a high school degree. Overall, Massachusetts graduation rates have improved since the policy took effect, and the state is known for having some of the highest test scores in the country. But it's not clear whether the testing as a graduation requirement is behind those good results. And that requirement still has critics, including the Boston Teachers Union. Their leaders say it has forced urban schools to spend large amounts of time on tested subjects like math and English, leaving less room for electives and the arts, which many people feel are equally important. Elizabeth Harrison, Rhode Island Public Radio.